Good afternoon, Brendan.
Bring it on, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast, number 146, is pulled together thanks to the good folks in Sebastopol and San Jose. That's you and me, Brendan.
Oh, we're good folks. We're folks. You keep calling us folks. Who are you, Obama?
Look, listen.
He's the folksiest president. Not that he's folksy. He says the word folks a lot.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, we're still recording. We're still on the air, on the internet, as it were. We are always in search of our next or first, as it were, sponsor. We've already changed our sponsorship hashtag from hashtag flat earth to hashtag moon tent. Hopefully we can get that going. If you would like to sponsor the podcast, please let us know if you'd like to be on the podcast and be our guest on the show. We're looking for guests. We might have a little fun with scheduling, but I'm sure we would make it work for a guest. We've been recording roughly weekly, right?
We record week. Just because you miss a week doesn't make you not weekly.
Well,
weekish.
The Earth missed a second this week. The scientists at the, I believe it's the National Institute for Standardization of Time. I'm not sure if that's the actual name, but I think that's what NIST stands for. NIST.
The clock guys.
The clock folks. Yes. Clock yeah. Kings. Yeah. The clock kings.
Clock humans.
Anyway, they had figured out that the Earth is slowing down by a little bit every day, every year, you know, all that kind of stuff. And
every second?
Indeed. And so that slew of time slowly is different than what everything else that we use to measure time. So all the time is measured by like atomic clocks and things like that. But atomic clocks don't change. Atomic clocks don't slow down because the Earth is slowing down. And so what they figured out to do is they would add in so-called leap seconds in order to even out the time, to make time fit what the sun, you know, is doing and the Earth is doing. So clocks that are electronically controlled match what is, you know, the Earth controlled of time. And this introduces all sorts of weird things. I guess the last time they added something like 20 seconds to clocks, and they have a standard for when they do it. It's like at the end of June or like the end of October or something like that, they can insert seconds in order to kind of make sure time evens up with the slowing of the Earth's rotation. And it causes all sorts of problems, as you might guess, with computers and things that are expecting a specific time, and those times don't agree. So this year, they added one second at midnight UTC, which ended up on the Pacific coast being like 5 p.m. on Tuesday. And yeah, so that second is just gone. It's not gone. They added a second, right? Isn't that how it works? So it's not like time was taken away from us. We got a free second just out
of
nowhere.
Yeah, it was a free second to spend as you wish.
What did I do during my free second? I texted my wife to say that I loved her. Sappy. Uh-huh.
Let's see. How did I spend my leap second? Well, I know in the morning I read an article saying that there was going to be one, and I said, okay, well, I need to do something. I'll be at work, and I'm going to step outside and do something, maybe do a little dance or something. Mm-hmm. But when I looked at the clock, it was 5:30, and I'd missed it. I wasted it on work.
So did you round that second back? Did you leave like 1 second earlier that day in order to
No, to get I'm usually back? Late to work, so I figured it's even.
Well, it's really great. I think it's funny because it is, I guess, in terms of how clocks work, for computers anyway, it's kind of jarring to do a whole second. And I think it's interesting what Google does. They spread the second out in micro slices over the course of the day. So it by the end of the day, it is a second later, but it's not so jarring that, you know, a computer would, like, you know, miss a transaction or something like that. Apparently, all sorts of precautions were taken because a bunch of websites went down the last time this happened. And I think a stock market, like, hiccuped for a little bit. I mean, not that much time, but, you know, enough time. Yeah, enough time that, you know, transactions were or could have been made, possibly, you know, exchanging all sorts of money and stuff. It really just goes to show that time is really not how we expect it to be.
Alan, time is a flat circle.
But it keeps moving herky-jerkily because of daylight savings time, which I think is not a thing.
Do you think to decide the actual day they use, what method do you think they use? Do they use some sort of like groundhog? Or do they go Tolkien style and like stand near the gray stone when the thrush knocks on the setting sun of Durin's day or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't that suck if you went to there and then it was off by 20 seconds because of the slowing of the rotation of the earth, and GPS enabled clocks are not calibrated to that. They walk out there and it's like, nope, can't tell where the door is. End of movie.
You can't go to the Lonely Mountain using GPS. So it really wouldn't have saved them that much time. Well, you don't need GPS when you've got eagles to take you everywhere.
Well,
Deus Ex Eagles.
The next leap second could potentially be added in, I believe it's October. It was June and October of every year. So let's look.
Wait, there's two per year?
Well, they can add leap seconds in whenever they feel that they're coming out of sync. And so they're not consistent about it, because 1 year they added 20 seconds and this year they added one. It's like, make up your mind. What are you doing? So I don't know if they're doing this with any kind of rhyme or reason to how they do it. May very well be groundhogs involved in calculating the amount of time and when they add the seconds in. So just say no. I continue to live my life as if that second never existed.
I literally did.
Well, we're going to move away from time and into what hopefully is not a harbinger of the future. But there was an incident in Germany this week at a Volkswagen plant where some technicians were installing a robot at the factory, and this is one of those, you know, pick up parts of cars and move them around on an assembly line kind of robot. And during the setup of the robot, it knocked a guy over and pinned him to a metal plate, and he later died of his injury. Which is
he was crushed to death by a robot.
Yeah.
And says, what did they say? They said it was human error. Volkswagen is clearly already under the control of the machines.
Yeah, yeah. Skynet. Wasn't Skynet gonna be one of the names of the things, like a car feature for a little while, like
Oh, I think isn't it an NSA program?
I thought there was a it's called Skyactiv. Never mind. I was thinking of something else. There are some it was like an OnStar like thing, and I thought it was called Skynet. That would have been too much. But yeah, real awful. Completely not a thing. Hopefully, Volkswagen took that robot out and like smashed it or
double tap to the back of the
or dropped it into molten slag or whatever the appropriate robot disposal method you would use.
Liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
And shattered
then,
it.
And then shattered. Right. Right. Well, another interesting story that came out of it is that, and this is, I mean, it is horrible that the guy died. I hope Volkswagen is doing its best to kind of make things right, or at least do their best to do that. But when this story was reported, a reporter had tweeted about it. And the reporter's name, Brendan, you noticed that.
Sarah O'Connor. Sarah Connor.
She was right all along. We didn't listen. We didn't listen about the machines coming to get us. So, as you might expect, her Twitter feed exploded that day. So... I'm sure there will be lots to talk about as this story develops, But in I don't think this is necessarily the first shot in the war against the machines. But if that wasn't the first shot, maybe the first shot was in Modesto. We're moving back to the United States, Modesto, California. A man was flying his personal drone hexacopter, supposedly above his property. There's some dispute over whose property it was over, but his neighbor, next-door neighbor, shot it down with a shotgun. It sounded like he only fired once at it, good aim.
Shotgun. That's why you buy one. You don't have to have good aim.
Oh, you have to aim a little.
But you have to have some aim. You have to have aim, not good aim, just aim.
Right. So the drone goes down. The guy, the owner of the drone, kind of, probably not wanting to be too confrontational about a person carrying a shotgun that he discharged over his property. He wrote the guy a letter asking for him to pay for the damaged drone, or at least the parts that were damaged. And there was some back and forth, and a court of law just recently ordered the neighbor with the shotgun to pay for the damaged drone. It's little nuts. There's obviously some some legal things that have to get worked out in there. I think part of it is yes, you probably shouldn't firearms in order to take out a drone. At the same time, flying a drone over someone else's property is also not cool and somewhat annoying. I think we have to figure out drone airspace rules before we start figuring out drone shotgunning rules. Although, again, good on that guy for bringing it down in one shot, right?
Yeah. Well, the argument is made by the drone owner that it wasn't over the other person's property. It was on his property.
Well, but so the problem with that is that it's not like the drone is magically only above, the property that is directly over, right? If it did have a camera on it, it can see a lot wider of a range.
One did not have a camera.
Well, but just the drone itself, having, existing out in the world, it makes noise in the air. And I would think, as this guy probably does, that he probably moved out into the wilds of Modesto to not have robots flying above his head or nearby.
I would argue that a shotgun is louder than a drone. And that person probably moved away from the city to get away from gunshots.
Mistakes were made on both sides. Certainly a story fit for the podcast, and so relevant as the new Terminator movie comes out this week. We'll see how that goes. Again,
I'll see it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna see it. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if the robots do come and we end up pulling a Matrix and scorching the skies in order to stop robots from using solar power, it turns out maybe we'll be okay anyway. A group in London has taken to growing plants and fruits and vegetables underground. They did a crowdfunding exercise. I don't know if it was specifically Kickstarter or what service they used, but they turned a former bomb shelter, kind of an underground large tunnel with its own ventilation system and everything else, and they set up an underground grow house essentially for whatever they wanted, and they are selling, or they will be selling, the produce that they create in this controlled environment through restaurants in London. And their idea is that you don't have to necessarily give up farmland for living space if you can grow things underground in this way. And I think that's interesting, and I think that's probably true. I think there is something to be said about the controlled environment versus the wild environment, and what the quality of the plant is that comes out of that environment. But
I don't know. I've had experience with some underground grown indoor grown plants that was pretty good.
I'm certain you can express certain genetic characteristics. Very, very well through that, I think.
And it's organic because you don't need to use pesticides. There's no bugs. It's all a contained system.
It does have a lot of appeal. My concern is if they are using engineered plants at all, that's introducing too much of a monoculture into the environment. I think genetic variation, you want genetic variation. You don't want something to be so completely engineered. But I think it's a neat idea. I would I applaud them for using stuff in that way. I think growing food in more interesting and novel ways is going to become more and more important. I wonder if this were not, or if this were purpose built rather than something that they moved into, because it was a former bomb shelter. I wonder if they made this, like, what the cost would be. Like, would it be prohibitive because they're essentially like digging underground and stuff like that?
Well, their whole thing is apparently to have it all powered by green energy. I would think that building huge concrete structures is not very environmentally friendly.
But it's possibly something, depending on what the food to kind of grow space is. You know, if it could be built into a building as it's being built, then you have kind of somewhat sustainable environment kind of built in.
We're going to need somewhere we can grow food when we're all living in megacities like Judge Dredd.
I'm down. I'm down with this. We should do that.
I feel 100%. Like England has a lot more bunkers than we do. That's probably not true, but how often do you see a bunker? All right, yeah. Not, it might be true. I don't know. We've been bombed a lot less than they have.
Yeah, yeah. Underground bomb shelters.
We have an ocean. We don't need bomb shelters. We have two oceans. And north and south neighbors that wouldn't mess with us.
At least so far, right?
Well, if they ever team up, we're screwed.
That's the whole thing of NAFTA, right? We're just trying to keep everyone, you know, keep everyone on the same side. Well, in the hopes of keeping everyone on the same side and keeping everyone happy, two different services debuted this week, and I think I pulled this off of, I think it was TechCrunch, which I don't usually go to because the tech news is really, can be really like dry. It's like talking about, oh, well, this company got funded. It's like, wow.
I'll just stick with watching Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot more entertaining to watch, Silicon Valley, and, it's, you get all the salient points, you know, and the backstabbing and the buying of companies and stuff like that. But, interestingly, this one caught my eye on TechCrunch this week. It's about telehealth. And I did a little bit of investigation into telehealth because the company I work for was trying to see like what inroads they could make into hospitals to sell our software or bridge any gaps that are there. And it's a really interesting kind of process. I mean, there's two kind of major phases of it. One of them is creating an electronic medical record, and that's essentially taking all the paper files that your doctors would keep about you and then digitizing them, but also making them available to you. So there's some transparency in when you go to a doctor, what they say, what they do, and it should be portable, so you could take it not only for yourself, but from doctor to doctor or facility to facility, so it's not, you know, a big deal. The other half of the telehealth initiative is telemedicine, and so that's doing things over the internet that could possibly reduce the amount of time or eliminate the amount of time that you need to spend in a hospital. So if you just have like a routine checkup and there's nothing to say necessarily, or there's you could do some of that over the internet via, you can do that. I mean, it seems very, very simple, right? Like you could chat with your doctor, you could email your doctor, but the whole thing about having that electronic medical record means that all of those communications have to be logged. And so it's kind of a big systemic change for established hospitals. But this story was about two new, not hospitals, but medical providers that are using telehealth in a really interesting way. And so this is specifically two companies that are doctor patient services for medical marijuana evaluations. And so this is an interesting thing in states where marijuana is not recreationally legalized, but it is legal for medical use, such as in California. And what these two companies are doing are they're making it much easier to see a doctor for a consultation. So the two companies are Eaze with a Z, so EAZE, and the other one is Meadow, and I don't know how they name everything, but Meadow is novel in that they will, when you contact them, you have to be seen by a doctor. So what they do is they will Uber a doctor to you. I think they are, I don't know if they're partnering with Uber, at least that's what the article made it look like. So they will send the doctor to you, make a house call, do your evaluation, and then you have your recommendation for marijuana, which you need your prescription. The other system, Ease, takes the telemedicine approach and completely does it through, I think it's through the app. They can do the evaluation and recommendation through the app, and then it stores it electronically, which they've made portable to different systems, so it can be independently verified. And I think it's you know, it was such an interesting thing, because the hospitals that I talked to were so clearly, like, you know, not in trouble, but definitely worried about keeping up with telemedicine. And so it's interesting, right? It's just like anything else, right? The large companies are not very agile. The small companies jump on all the technology right away and can move very quickly. So an interesting story out of, I believe it is Silicon Valley. I'm pretty sure it is California.
So you pay $25, do an online thingy, and then you get a weed card.
Yeah.
Interesting. And yeah. They also run a service that does delivery, which that's not new.
Yeah. But yeah, it is interesting, right? The innovators are looking for all the gaps in how kind of traditional systems go disrupting technology.
TechCrunch disrupt. What?
Yeah, yeah. However you feel about how that works. Hopefully it will be moot if California ever figures it out and then legalizes it for recreational use, and then reaps the tax dollars that the Colorado and other states have jumped on.
Tiny states.
Yeah. You'd think just the tax base alone would be so attractive to politicians, but apparently it's still kind of dicey, mostly because financial institutions are concerned about carrying any liability of something, only because it is still illegal federally. It's a complex bit, but
think of all that tax revenue we could get to build desalination plants and other water things to fix this water problem.
There's all sorts of
the Green Water Initiative.
No, turn my lawn green. Yeah, that should be a thing.
Water the grass.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. Are you still ending your exploratory commission on elected office?
we're still contemplating.
Okay. All right.
There's a lot of ins and outs. Yeah, I'll have a decision soon.
Well, you know, you can always throw your hat in the ring for GOP nominee.
What?
There can be, you know, a lot more of those. Apparently everyone and their mother appears to be jumping on that nomination.
The clown car is filling up.
Yep. So one of those clowns, specifically Donald Trump, got himself in, I don't know if it's hot water, but he did make some pretty explosive comments.
He is Donald Trump being Donald Trump.
Right. You know, as much of a joke as you might think he is, he actually does, like, raise a legitimate amount of campaign funding and stuff.
That's kind of scary.
It's kind of scary.
He always trumps himself with the ridiculousness of what he says.
Yeah. Yeah, so
he's always breaking his own record.
I don't know what exactly he said, but he made some comments in, I think it was an interview when talking about Mexico and referred to...
His announcement for his campaign.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Announcing right that he's running for president. The main quote that pissed people off in regards to Mexicans was, they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. That's a direct quote.
Oh my gosh.
What a shithead.
So, A, not a thing. And B, there was a lot of reaction very, very quickly from that. So a number of business partners of his ended their relationships with Trump over those comments. Kind of interestingly, there were, I think, NBC is not carrying any more of his content. And so the... I think it was the Miss Universe pageant and the Miss USA pageant were somehow mostly owned by Trump. And so those are being turned off. There's a, I think it was Macy's had a line of clothing that had Trump's name on it. Ironically, that line of clothing is made in Mexico. Whoops. The story that we latched onto, mostly because it involved beer, is that there's a brewery that, supplies beer for, I think it's a tower or a restaurant in Chicago.
Yeah, at Trump Tower. There's a bar called Rebar.
Okay. Okay. Well, in any case, they have decided they are not making any more beer for Mr. Trump, and the 50 or so kegs of beer that they have left over, they're going to rename and then sell at local bars in Chicago under the name Chinga Tu Pelo.
Which fuck means, your hair.
Yeah, yeah. Referring to Donald Trump's kind of weird orangey toupee thing that he does. It's hilarious. And cheers to anyone that's in Chicago that can grab one of those beers. I think that's a worthy purchase.
And a tip of the hat to Five Rabbit Cerveceria Brewery in Chicago. You are a thing.
Well,
I'll make a statement right now. If Donald Trump is elected president of the United States, I will shave my head and eat the hair. You didn't say like I'll eat my hat. No, in this case, I'll eat my hair.
Wow.
If he is elected president.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think you have to worry that much.
I don't think I do that, so I can say something like that.
But yeah, what a clown car it is for the Republican fray over there. I was reading a thing, and it was there's so many nominees that that Fox News is and that's in quotes, by the way. There's news is in quotes when you say the name of that station. They are having trouble organizing the Republican debate because they just, you know, they if they want to give people time, they have to specifically exclude people from those lists. So it'll be interesting to see who gets cut and who doesn't. I believe it's like over 20 people is the field now. It's crazy. And I think it's I personally think it's hilarious. If they want to waste their money and good graces, that's it's their money to waste. I just think it's bad that there are people that would normally be sane that are giving money to these fools.
Well, it's interesting that there's so many candidates, but so many of them are saying the exact same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there is some variation. There is a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, there's degrees of crazy.
Yeah. Right.
I think Mr. Hare is leading the pack currently. Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah. But
And more people are getting in on the Democratic side too.
That's true. That's true.
Like 5 or 6.
It's warming up over there too. I would like to see a little more debate and discourse. Hopefully you know, that will happen. Hopefully that's a thing.
I want to see more Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did a pretty good round of fundraising this last week, so we'll see. We'll see. It will make for an interesting primary season in any case. And probably, I don't know, I think the election itself may not be that interesting, but the primaries will be really, really fun. Hoping so. Anyway. In any case, it's probably time to wrap up. It's a long weekend for those of us in America. USA, USA. 4th of July weekend. We'll be back on the air next week. If you, again, would like to be a guest on the show, we're always looking for guests. It's fun. All you have to do is have something to talk about, and I'm sure everyone has something. Right?
No or pressure. Maybe you don't, and you should really think about that and what you're doing with your life.
Take this weekend off and think about it.
Think of America.
Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.